Father, what a joy we do have when we lean on your everlasting arms. We thank you, Father, that you're always there for us, that you hear our prayers, that through the blood of Christ that we have acceptance and access to your throne. I just pray that as we open up your word this morning, that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit. I pray that we continue to relinquish our will and rest in yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7 this morning as we continue our study of verses 24 through 28. Matthew 7, 24 through 28. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Last week, as we began our study of these verses, we noted that Christ is continuing to contrast real believers to false believers. And in that contrast, he pointed out that there were wise people, there are foolish people. There's rock, there's sand. There's a house that stands and a house that falls. And the central theme of both of these, or the central aspect of both of these groups of people, is the foundation. Last week we read in Isaiah 28, verse 16, which reads, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." Christ is that foundation for the wise builder. Ephesians 2, verse 19 says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Christ is the cornerstone, and as we mentioned last week, the cornerstone in ancient times wasn't a decorative piece that was visible. It was the corner of the foundation, and the cornerstone had to be true. It had to have right angles because you laid out the rest of the foundation based upon the cornerstone. And if you didn't have a correct cornerstone, nothing would be square. And so here, Jesus is our cornerstone in which we should live our life. As we continue to study verse 24, he said, "I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." And today we are going to study the wise man. He says, "The wise man who built his house on the rock." The key word there is built. Now, if you were a wise builder, you would definitely use a set of blueprints and plans. Can you imagine living in a house that was built without a set of plans? A wise builder is always going to have a set of blueprints and plans. If you're a builder, you're going to use the correct tools. You never see a builder build something without a framing square, or the building is not going to be very sound. Isn't that how we are as Christians? Shouldn't we as Christians be using the same tools? The Bible, right? Prayer. Through the Bible, there's a plan that we should follow. In being a wise builder, we build our house on the rock. Who's the rock? The rock is Jesus Christ. And the wise builder builds their house on the rock. You see a reference to building throughout the Bible as Paul exhorted the elders of Ephesus. He said in Acts 20, verse 32, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up," which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, let me ask you a question, and you're going to see this theme through the next several verses. When he said, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up," is build past tense or present tense? Present, isn't it? Now, when we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some people who think, well, I've got my ticket to heaven, so now I can just sit back and I can be on cruise control for the rest of my life because I'm going to go to heaven, I'm not going to go to hell, and that's all salvation is about. And that's wrong. That's wrong. See, our salvation is a process. And here he said that the word of His grace is able to build you up. Present tense. He's speaking to the elders of Ephesus. These are a group of Christians, and he's saying that His word is able to build you up. You see a similar phrase in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Colossians 2, starting in verse 4. It reads, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Now, present or past tense? Present tense, right? Walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the Word, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Finally, we look at Jude 20, which reads, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Building ourselves up, walking with the Lord, building yourselves up in Jude 20. My friends, Christianity is not a one-time event. It is a lifelong process in which the Lord Jesus Christ works through us through the indwelling of His Spirit. Christianity permeates our being. Christianity requires obedience and a lifelong commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just not a ticket to heaven. You see this in the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 12. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 46. Matthew 12, starting in verse 46. It reads, While he was, and this is referring to Jesus, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you." But he, referring to Jesus, answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, "Here are my mothers and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven. See, my friends, salvation is about obedience. It's about building upon the rock of Jesus Christ. It's a lifelong process. And in fact, if you think about it, building is your sanctification. Building is your sanctification. Now, what does sanctification mean? It means that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit changes you, and you move from being sinful to more like Him. Do we get there completely? Not until He calls us home. But we are continually being sanctified by the indwelling of the Spirit. See, if we're going to build a sound house, it has to be on the rock of Jesus Christ. And so the rest of the time this morning, we're going to spend talking about sanctification and how it relates to building our spiritual house. First, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And you can see in this particular passage that sanctification is God's purpose for us. It reads, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." Look at verse 3. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." Let's talk about that for just one moment. When you look at verse 3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." People sometimes struggle with, well, what's the will of God for me in my life? What should I do with my life? There is one simple answer to that. Is to be obedient. God wants you to be obedient to His teaching and His truth. It's not any more clear than in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." He expounds on that again in verse 7, where we read, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." God called you to be holy. If you look at your salvation as a one-time event and then you are free to do whatever you want just because you mouth the words Jesus Christ, it is not what the gospel teaches. The gospel teaches that He has called you to be holy. And through His sanctifying power, He continues to move us. We continue to build on the house. He continues to move us to holiness. I think it's important to point out in verse 8, "Therefore he who rejects this does not reject man, but God." But God. So many times people look at their sin and they say, it's okay, and this is the phrase that drives me crazy, it's okay, I'm not hurting anyone. Well, first of all, that's not true. When you sin, you hurt people around you. That's just fact. But if you want to continue on that same line, let's look at it in another way. You see here in Thessalonians, it says that we wrong God. Too many people look at their life in a horizontal aspect, just between other people. But that's not what sin is about. Sin is about wronging God. See, we need to look at our life as we build upon that rock. We need to look at our life in a vertical relationship, in a vertical relationship with God. So when we sin, we don't just wrong someone else. In fact, that's a byproduct of sin. The primary person that's offended is God. Wronging another person is just a byproduct of me choosing to disobey God, or you choosing to disobey God. We wrong God. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God. So here you see in this particular group of verses that our purpose is sanctification. That's God's purpose for us, that we should be sanctified, that we should continue to move towards holiness. What does that mean? That means that we change our viewpoint, that we have a Christian outlook on life, that our grasp of this world is loosened and our grasp of God in His teaching and His truth is tightened. That's what sanctification is all about. Is for us to look at our life and say, you know what, this thing in my life that I'm holding on to and I'm coveting and I don't want to let God have, I'm going to turn that over to Him because I want to be more like Jesus. Isn't that what sanctification is about? When we sit there and say, I want to be more Christ-like. Well, what does that mean? First of all, that means that we have a desire to serve God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Romans 7, 22. In this wonderful chapter, you see what is going on inside the life of Paul. Because in Romans 7, 22, he says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Let me ask you a question. Are you delighting in God? Are you delighting in His Word? Or is that not important to you? That's a very important question. And it's something that we all need to ask ourselves. Do I desire the law of God? What's important to me in my life? What do I emphasize? Do I emphasize His Word and His teaching and His truth? Or is that just something that I do on Sunday for an hour out of the week? That's a very important question. Because, my friends, we're not defined by 1 hour, are we? My character and your character in life is not defined by what goes on in the hour that we are here in worship. That's just an aspect. Our character in our life is defined by every single moment of our life. It's just not about the worship hour. It's about you and I serving God every single moment of the day, serving Him at work, serving Him among our neighbors, serving Him among our friends, being ambassadors for Him in our community. And it all starts with a desire to serve, to delight in His law. It also means that we desire His Word. 1 Peter 2, Verse 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It's with that desire that we grow. We desire to grow. That's a sign of sanctification, that we desire to grow. You know, as we think back, and if you're old enough to remember, 30, 40 years ago, and you compare the church today, and I'm talking about the church in America, I think one of the vital missing components of the church today that was evident in the church 30 or 40 years ago is that people had a consistent desire to know God, to study His Word, to know about Him, to see where the Word fits into their life, to every aspect of their life. It's a sign of being a healthy believer, because that's how God communicates to us, isn't it? He communicates to us through His Word. We need to be students of His Word. We need to desire His Word. We need to attend Bible studies. We need to attend Sunday morning Bible study, Wednesday evening Bible studies, to know Him. That desire should be in you, to where you want to gather together with His people and study His Word. You are not going to grow unless you study His Word. We grow by the studying of the Word of God. And when we grow, we understand more about the will of God. We have more peace. We have more contentment. It's important that we desire His Word. Another part of being sanctified is understanding our liberty. Understanding our liberty. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. I love this verse. Let me tell you something about this verse. You can mark this verse and you can use this verse to everyone who has been deceived by a false teaching that worship, Bible study, and being a committed Christian is optional. Because there's a lot of people out there that believe that right now, right? That you can just do whatever you want. Galatians 5:13 is the answer for them. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We have been called to liberty. Well, what does that liberty mean? Now, some people out there will tell you, I accepted Jesus Christ 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, and I'm going to go to heaven. But it's okay that I'm out there living like a dog and however I want to live because God understands. You'll never find that in Scripture. And here Paul says, do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. In other words, don't confuse grace with a license. Don't confuse grace with a license. Well, what does liberty mean then? Well, let's think about it this way. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the blood of Jesus purchased me and purchased you off of the slave block of sin. And what does a slave wear? A slave wears shackles. And before Jesus Christ, you and I were shackled to sin. We couldn't help ourselves, could we? That was our only option for us to do what sinners do, and that is to sin. But Jesus Christ changed all that. When He came into our hearts, when we have the indwelling of the Spirit, I have the liberty to do something, and you have the liberty to do something that before we were unable to do, and that liberty is to choose God and to be obedient. See, that's where free will comes in. People say, well, do you believe in free will? Yes, I believe in free will. Free will is after I accept Jesus Christ. Before I accept Jesus Christ, I had no free will. I would choose sin every single time. I wasn't free to choose God. But after Jesus Christ, you and I are free to choose God. See, when we're sanctified, as we move along in that sanctification process, we understand that our liberty isn't a license to do what we want to. Oh, it's okay that God understands that I'm about to disobey His Word. That's not liberty. Liberty is praise God that Jesus Christ saved me out of His wonderful grace and mercy, and now I have the liberty to serve Him. I have the liberty to serve Him. Not only as we become sanctified do we understand liberty, but my friends, we also press on. We press on. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. This is Paul speaking, and he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I press on. He said, I'm not perfected, but I press on. See, if we are a wise builder, and as we build our spiritual house, it has to be upon the rock of Christ, but we have to press on. We have to press on. Building's a long-term project, isn't it? A house just doesn't spring up overnight. Neither is our spiritual house built in a day. Think about that. Are you a Christian who says years ago in a revival meeting or at church or during confirmation or whatever process you went to understand the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you are hanging your whole life on that one moment in your life? Is that what Christ gave His precious blood for you for? For just for you to look back and say, at such and such date, I walked the aisle, I was confirmed, I did whatever, and I'm okay, and now I can live my life however I want to. Is that a wise builder? It's not, is it? Because see, the gospel tells us that He has called us to be sanctified. And be sanctified means that every single day as we get up and as we walk with the Lord, we continually turn our life over to Him. And little by little, He changes us. That's why Paul said, I die daily. It's an everyday process. We have to give our life over to Him every single day. And when we give our life over to Him every single day and we say, God, You're going to be the priority in my life. I'm going to commit my life to You. I'm going to build my life on the rock. When we do that, we're the wise builder, and the storms will not prevail. Will you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. If you're a believer this morning and you have professed a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, are you pressing on? Do you have a desire to study the Word of God, a desire to pray to God, a desire to be around God's people? Are you just living your life for self? If you're not living for God, if your priorities are not focused on God, just right where you're at, just recommit your life to God. He saved you for a purpose. And maybe somewhere along the way, you got out of focus. Your attention changed. Just recommit your life to Christ. Be that wise builder. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never turned your life over to Him. You've never asked for forgiveness of sins. You've never repented from your sins, which means that you turn from sin and you turn to God. If you've never asked Christ in your heart to be your Savior and Lord, Let me tell you right now that your life will be made new through Jesus Christ. You're going to have to give up your life and give it to the Lord. But my friends, you get so much better in return. If you're not a Christian this morning, ask Jesus Christ in your heart. Let us know about it if you become a Christian today, where you ask Christ in your heart and say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I'm going to turn my life over to you. Be my Savior and Lord. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the grave for me. Our Father, we just praise you. We praise you for your truth and your word and that it's reliable. And I just pray, Lord, that we might all be wise builders, that we might build upon the rock. I pray that if there's someone here who does not know you, that they would give you their life today. In Jesus' name, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning? Is he speaking to you?